Welcome. This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com, and we welcome you back to the New World Next Week. And of course, you can find everything you need at NewWorldNextWeek.com. I was remiss last week in putting out to the audience, as we always want to do, for story ideas using hashtag New World Next Week for story submissions. Now, having said that, we will lead James with a very interesting, very important, and very pressing story that we will take from Reason.com. Encrypted email providers shutter services to protect users from government snoops. Last week, two companies, first it was LavaBit and then Silent Circle, both shut down their encrypted email services abruptly and with no warning. LavaBit's announcement was both cryptic and frightening, with the owner, Ladar Levison, strongly implying that the move came to avoid submitting to government surveillance demands. Silent Circle CEO Mike Jahnke then explicitly stated that his firm was closing the company's email servers without warning so the U.S. government would have no opportunity to seize data. Both moves are sad, but commendable, as they stand as scathing indictments of U.S. law and officials. They also suggest that at least one industry and its related talent and technology are likely to move offshore. Levinson's statement read, in part, quote, "I've been forced to make a difficult decision, to become complicit in crimes against the American people or walk away from nearly 10 years of hard work by shutting down LavaBit. After significant soul-searching, I've decided to suspend operations. I wish that I could legally share with you the events that led to my decision. I cannot. I feel you deserve to know what's going on. The First Amendment is supposed to guarantee me the freedom to speak out in situations like this. Unfortunately, Congress has passed laws that say otherwise." James?
Well, what do you say to that? I think there's a few things we should observe about this. First of all, not only the courage of people like that who have stood up to the system and instead of selling out their users have walked away from the table altogether. That's a pretty difficult move to make. So hats off to people who do have at least a little bit of backbone and will stand up to this encroaching tyranny. And on that in that regard, we should, of course, remember the story of Joseph Nacchio of Quest, the CEO of Quest, who was indicted for insider trading back in 2007, but was clearly being retaliated against by the NSA for not going along with the snooping that was taking place at that time with the other telecom companies, all of which were granted retroactive immunity for their illegal spying. So I will point people to a Daily Caller article from June of this year that goes over that. It's called "Jailed Quest CEO Claimed that NSA Retaliated Because He Wouldn't Participate in Spy Program." And it says, quote, "In court papers filed during his 2007 insider trading trial, former Quest CEO Joseph Nacchio claimed that Denver-based Quest was denied lucrative NSA contracts he believed to be worth $50 to $100 million after he refused to involve Quest in a secret NSA program that he thought would be illegal. So there are some people who do stand up to the system and they are retaliated against, and they do see their livelihoods flushed down the toilet because of it. So we do have to stand by people like that who will stand up to the system. But on the other hand, what this also shows is that even if there is technology that can circumvent the types of controls that they want to put in place and the types of snooping efforts that they have up their sleeve, if you actually try to implement them, guess what they're going to do? They're just going to pass a law saying you have to comply with us or go out of business. So it is a rigged game played by crooks, and they're not going to let the people win. And the only possible solution, once again, is for us to start building up the alternative infrastructure that they have nothing to do with. And that's a long, slow, painful, arduous process that's a lot like real work. And that's because nothing is ever handed to you on a silver platter. The internet is only free and open because it is the biggest, wonderful spy grid that the USA intelligence networks have ever created. And it comes with a horrible price. So again, I think we're going to have to start investing in the alternative infrastructure.
James, I may have buried the lead there, because the main thing that people would be really excited about this is when I would tell them this was Edward Snowden's email service. That was the headline. Snowden's email service shuts down rather than submit information to the government. Now, having said that, we'll throw in a couple of related notes. Interesting one, Microsoft reverses itself on its Xbox One camera requirement pretty much because of all the NSA spying revelations. So we had reported on this previously, and we even did way back about 2.5 years ago, James, we talked about Microsoft's Kinect as your video game machine watching you, and of course it is. What Microsoft has reversed themselves on is the requirement that the camera be connected for the Xbox One to work. So I think this about face kind of shows why Obama and national security enthusiasts have been so upset about all these recent revelations, because corporations rely on the trust of their consumers. And that's all completely blown up in light of all these recent NSA revelations. James, in closing, I think it's important to mention that the aforementioned Barry Satoru, the president referred to as Obama, has achieved what Tricky Dick Nixon couldn't, as Bradley Manning has been convicted of espionage. So again, we'll provide all the links for you. And as we always intend, you guys to go check all this out for yourselves and don't take our word for any of this. Our second story, James, is a really interesting one, and we'll take it from the tabloid, the Daily Mail, but it's been reported on all around the world. More than 100,000 people want to fly to Mars in 2022 and never come back. More than 100,000 people have applied to be part of the Mars One project, which aims to colonize the red planet starting in 2022. Out of the thousands, 40 people will be selected. Of that 40, just 4 will participate in the first passage to Mars, which is scheduled to leave in September 2022 and land 7 months later in April 2023. None of the 4 will ever return to Earth. More than 30,000 Americans have applied for the chance to be the very first settlers on Mars, paying a $38 application fee. The audacious project is the brainchild of a Dutch company run by CEO and creator Bas Landstrup. Landstrup told CNN that the price is based on the gross domestic product per capita of different nations. So, for example, as we said, the U.S. pays $38, Mexico pays $15 application fee. We want it to be high enough for people to really think about it and low enough for anyone to be able to afford it, Landstrup said. The very first mission to Mars will cost $6 billion. And Landstrup intends to, here's where it gets funny, fund the mission by creating, of course, a reality TV series about the mission, documenting everything from the astronauts' training on Earth right through to touchdown on Mars and their daily lives once on the planet. Sponsors and media agencies would pay to broadcast the Mars mission. James, I would just have to turn around and ask you, would you consider this even for a second?
Well, I think we've all thought about getting off of this planet, but maybe not in that way. Well, at the very least, at least this is a private enterprise initiative, so I have nothing against it. If people want to sign up for it and want to go through this, and if it can be funded this way, well, good on them. I don't really expect that it will happen. I don't think it's seriously going to happen in this manner, but you never know. It's kind of, I think, ridiculous that they have the foresight to think about, interplanetary travel, but not the foresight to see that the television, funding medium is a failed paradigm. And I mean, how quickly would it just turn up as a torrent online? I mean, no one's going to pay for this. So I think that's ridiculous. But I mean, it's an interesting little idea. And again, it's private enterprise and not NASA or something trying to do this. So I'm behind that part of it.
I guess I find these kind of stories fascinating, because these are the sorts of things for me that, always remind us that, wow, we really are living, we are living in the future. And I think, it would probably depend on what kind of personal situation you were in as to whether or not you would actually want to do this and want to go through with it. But James, I don't know. I can maybe see the flip side, where once you got that Coca-Cola and Samsung money and all that stuff starting to flow in, they would love to plaster their logos all over this thing, and it would probably more than pay for itself, I would guess.
Well, there's certainly money to be made from it, so we'll see how it if it comes together. But still, I think there must be a lot of legal ramifications to this, and for people who are literally signing up to go away and never, ever in their entire lives return to Earth, that's a pretty big decision, and one that I don't know how they could live with. But at any rate, it's going to be interesting to find out.
And of course, there's no guarantee. Yeah, you won't be returning to Earth, and there's also no guarantee that you're going to make it to Mars in the first place either. an interesting
open the pod day doors, Al.
I'm sorry, James. I'm afraid I can't let you do that. Here's an interesting related one as well, and this is up on my Twitter feed, at Media Monarchy. After 6 months, the Mars Food Study researchers have emerged from under the dome in Alaska. Researchers have been living in a dome in Alaska trying to figure out the food situation. So once, you know, we get the tourist thing to land on Mars, how are we going to grow crazy-ass food there? Having said that, James, our third and final story this week was something actually that Brock West and I had kind of chatted about, and I actually have no text I'm going to read for you. He and I just found it really interesting, and again, at my day job at a radio station, of course, there's TV screens all over the place, and CNN is on one of them constantly. And I've really noticed, one, in addition to CNN, obviously trying to change up and they look like they're trying to fox up their lineup as they've added lots of sort of younger and attractive people. And one of those younger and attractive people is my man Morgan Spurlock. We're born in the same county in southern West Virginia. Of course, he made the film Super Size Me and Mansum and Where in the World is Osama Bin Laden, and he made the 30 Days TV series. He has a new series on CNN called Inside Man, where each episode he kind of goes into an area to explore. Some of the recent episodes have been, I think, about drought, and some have been about the military. But the very first episode of Morgan Spurlock's Inside Man on CNN was all about the medical marijuana industry. And he goes in and he works for a major dispensary in California and basically lays it all out, how all this garbage started with putting marijuana as a controlled one, or, you know, Schedule One controlled substance, again, back in the Nixon era. Spurlock comes away from it going, gosh, it sure kind of seems like this whole industry is all built on, that would be the incarcerating people for marijuana. This whole industry is built for the run-for-profit prisons and the treatment centers, and he basically calls it out as being a huge scheme. Now, Sanjay Gupta, who is kind of the CNN's main go-to doctor guy, he has a whole new special called Weed. And I couldn't help but wonder, and this is, again, what Brock and I were kind of speculating about, James, and I'm going to throw it to you. It seems as though there's some kind of push on CNN, and Sanjay Gupta is a Council on Foreign Relations member, and I've done a little bit of digging into Morgan Spurlock's movie industry connections, and he's big buddies with studio heads who are, of course, Bilderberg and CFR members as well. So, James, the question I'm posing, is the Council on Foreign Relations and mainstream media really pushing the idea and getting people ready for, okay, we're going to let you have medical marijuana?
It could be. I mean, I think we have two options here. Either this is suddenly the light has been switched on and the green light has been given, and now they are pushing this agenda. Or perhaps, I mean, maybe they realize that this is where the people are, so they're moving to meet it and to, you know, as part of that revivification of CNN or whatever. I mean, I don't know which it is, but it certainly does seem to, the timing of it and the coordination, and I mean, it certainly seems to be coming all at one time. So there might be something behind it. What do you think is, I mean, what is the end goal of this then? If, I mean, after decades and decades and decades and decades of vilification of marijuana and the criminalization, which has obviously been so lucrative for the jailers and the people who ship the drugs in with CIA complicity, why would they switch the tune now?
My only guess is that they realized what we've all known and what we've all been shouting from the rooftops for so long is that the industrial hemp plant can be used to make so many more things, and we can make paper and fuel and food, and all of those kind of industrial needs could be met, and we wouldn't be tearing down forests and destroying our world. I think they want to tax it, basically. I think they want to get the control of it themselves so they can say, oh, well, you don't want to trust all those other shady, weird people. You want to get it from us. And I would just look at it, yeah, as another kind of industry, you know, round of revenue, because they knew ultimately that I don't think they were going to be able to keep this going forever and tricking and lying to people about the dangers of marijuana, and that at some point they knew they were going to finally have to relent. And I think the stories are, James, that pretty much, you know, all the tobacco companies, they all have, you know, their sort of design pack for, you know, a pack of joints all ready to go. They've got the names and the slogans, and they're just kind of rubbing their hands and waiting for this, you know, rush to happen.
Well, that does make sense. There is certainly a lot of money that can be made from it and squeezed out of taxpayers and the like. So I'm sure that they have certainly thought about that aspect of it. And again, it does make a certain sense because, of course, the real drug money comes from cocaine and other things that are much harder to grow and refine and process and the like, whereas marijuana is a weed. It grows anywhere. So everybody already has it growing all over the place. So I can see that. They're just going to try to restrict it, regulate it, tax it, control it, and make sure that they get their cut from it. So it certainly makes sense, and I have no information whether this is part of a coordinated agenda, but it certainly looks that way.
So we can just throw that out to the audience to tell them to kind of keep their eye on this situation and see if it really if it's the, you know, the mainstreaming of it happens. I personally would like to think that a lot of people kind of see the light in these situations when it affects them finally, personally, like when their grandma says, I don't know, when I got some of the cannabis, I finally felt better. And then that's going to kind of change their mind.
Of course. And those stories snowball on each other so that it starts to become more of a mainstream phenomenon. And as more people talk about it, more people try it, etc. So yes, I mean, I do see that occurring. And especially now that we've had some states starting with the legalization of medical marijuana. And I think that's a snowball that is going to continue rolling down the hill. So perhaps they're just trying to get in front of it to make sure they tax it as it rolls.
And once all the money starts to roll in Washington and Colorado, all those other states are going to go, hey, I want to get on board with that. So James, just to wrap it up now, and speaking of things growing all over the place, the interviews that I did at the recent Seattle Biodiversity Conference, those are all up and those are posted on MediaMonarchy.com. And I also even did an interview earlier today with a conspiracy researcher named Adam Go-Rightly, and we talked about the dead comedian conspiracy. So I'm trying to book some more interviews for Media Monarchy. So again, folks, keep their eye on the feed.
Interesting stuff. I will be keeping my eye on the feed, or more appropriately, my ear. But in the meantime, also, if people have been coveting after my very cool Unlearn Fear t-shirt during today's episode, it's provided by WeAreThird.net. They sent me a free copy. You might remember this is the exact same shirt that Richard Grove was wearing in his recent appearance on the Corbett Report. Well, not the exact same shirt. I'm not wearing his shirt, per se, but it's the same design. So people can go to WeAreThird.net for more of those types of designs. I think they're really cool. Nice shirts with a nice, simple message. And on that note, speaking of t-shirts, I think Chris Andrews, our friend at RedHotInkers.com, also has some Corbett Report t-shirts still available for sale. So if people are interested in that, they can head out over there. But I think that's going to bring it to an end for this week. So, James, thank you once again for this week. I'm looking forward to next week.
Thanks so much, man. My pleasure. Take care.